You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us. It is Tuesday's edition of the podcast. Looking ahead to a couple of races at Musselburgh a little bit later on in the podcast. Sam Norris here, joined by John Budden to take you through those races at Musselburgh, plus a look through the Racing Post Monday jury as per usual. John, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, Sam. And starting a new month in the NAPS table, a great deal of targets to gain.
Yeah, you're starting the new month with the wallet a little bit thicker, John, having having trousered the monthly prize for March. Very well done.
Well, I just escaped. What bad luck on Andrew Mudd.
Yes.
A 14-1 winner could so easily have been a 20-1 winner if it hadn't been for the non-runners.
Yes, indeed. But well done, John. And as you say, the NAPS table goes again for this month. We're going to take a look at the Monday jury, though, to start things off, as we usually do on Tuesday's podcast. And we will start with question number one. Always a good place to start. Which horse impressed you the most over this weekend? Of course, we have Flat Racing Return on the turf at Doncaster. It was a really good card at Kempton as well. Was there anything that really stood out this weekend, John?
Well, I think it was Invincible Army for me, Sam. This is a horse, of course, trained by James Tate, and was near the top of the sort of sprinting ranks, certainly the potential one last season, until there was an issue over his final outing, and we didn't see him again since sort of late summertime. But I got the impression that James thought Invincible Army was ready for the first run of the season at Doncaster. I would probably have napped it if it hadn't been for the fact I was certain it was going to start at less than 2-1, and I thought, well, that's going to be a miserable price. However, it didn't. It drifted in the market quite significantly and eventually went to post at 4-1. And, well, there was no question it was going to win from really almost the start, but certainly from halfway. Strode down the Doncaster Straight in invincible style. PJ, and great to see him with another good horse riding, PJ McDonald, and there was no problem. And I thought Invincible Army was very impressive. I see no reason why he shouldn't go on to win in better company even than on Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully there's some good targets ahead for Invincible Army and could develop into one of the best sprinters around this year. Of course, we're not done with the National Hunt season just yet. Busy week coming up at Aintree, of course, culminating in the Grand National. Question two is there a horse at Aintree that won at Cheltenham that you fancy to follow up?
Yes, there is. I think Defi de Searle is going to win at Aintree. This is a really good horse, in my view, Sam. I've said throughout the season, I was a little bit disappointed with his first run over fences at Cheltenham, but he's improved with each run. He was extremely good in the Silly Isles Novices Chase, wasn't it, at Sandown? And then I thought excellent at Cheltenham, where he was quietly ridden, but came through with a strong burst to score. I think he'll definitely be as good, if not better, at Aintree, and it'll be a surprise if he's beaten. Of course, you would have to say Tiger Rogue comes into this category as well, but
yes.
That might be another subject.
Indeed. The next question is, are there any Cheltenham winners that you'd be looking to oppose this week at Aintree?
Yes, funnily enough, I would oppose Top of the Game.
Okay.
who I actually supported at Cheltenham, was pleased that he'd won. But I'm not certain that Aintree is very much his track. Flatter, easier circuit, and I think he could get done. I think he runs in the Manifesto Chase, and La Bague au Bois is also down for that. And that's a very decent horse. I thought he was very good in Ireland. He's a sort of front-running type who won't stop. So I just quietly oppose Top of the Game.
Okay. And next up, this is a bit of a devilish question. Give us one for the handicaps. Obviously, we don't really know 100% what's going to be running in the handicaps. Was there anything on your mind?
Yeah, there are two on my mind. Lady Buttons, I think, will definitely run.
Yep.
I thought she ran extremely well at Cheltenham. And so Phil Kirby, you know, is a man with the magic wand, really.
Having a great season, yeah.
Yeah, having a great season. One of the things that Phil Kirby does remarkably well is to keep his horses at the top of their game for a lengthy period of time. And that is the case with Lady Buttons. I see no reason why she shouldn't come out and run a big race in one of the handicaps. I think she's in the Close Brothers handicap. And I thought she'd got a good chance. And it were Nicky Richards to run Chids well in a handicap. I would be very much on that horse. He's, to me, is a real improver at the moment, Chidswell.
Okay. A couple then to follow in the handicaps at Aintree. On to the next question, and this regards Bouvardaire. Will he bounce back? I know you're a big Bouvardaire fan, John, or have been. Do you think he'll bounce back from his spill at Cheltenham?
Yes, I'm sure he will. He seemed to be perfectly all right after that unfortunate fall at Cheltenham. It was going quite well at the time. It's just one of those things. Misjudged the flight. He's normally a really fluent and excellent hurdler. I see no reason why I shouldn't bounce back. Of course, the question mark here is, will Apple's Jade bounce back? Now, I was pretty strong on Apple's Jade. I thought that she was stronger than at any time in her career, and she was very disappointing in the Champion Hurdle. But on this flatter track, she could bounce back. I think both of them will probably fight out the finish, and certainly I'm pretty convinced that Bouvardaire will, go to his very best and could easily win.
Okay. And finally, looking ahead to the feature race, of course, this week, the Grand National, a 1-2-3 in your mind, John.
1-2-3.
Easy enough to find a winner, isn't it?
I think I would have to include Tiger Roll in the 1-2-3. I think he's far too short, and I shan't be backing him. I think the two Northern horses have got a very decent chance. They are Vintage Clouds, who I hope is going to get in. I think he will get in this time. He's in very good shape. I thought he ran excellently in the Ultima Chase. He's had a bit of a little quiet wind operation. He seems to be jumping much better at Trevor Hemmings' owns, and I see no reason why Sue Smith's horse should not run really well in the Grand National. But I want, and there was a very good feature in the Racing Post on this horse today, Monday afternoon or Monday morning in the Racing Post, on Lakeview Lad. I think this is a lovely horse, and he's shown a much improved form this season. He won the Rehearsal Chase in good style at Newcastle before Christmas. He won the Roland Merrick in even better style over Christmas. And I thought he ran an extremely promising race after a break at Cheltenham in the Ultima. And I see no reason why it shouldn't go well. So I'm going to go for Lakeview Lad to win at the expense of Vintage Clouds.
About a 16-1 chance, Lakeview Lad, for, of course, the big one coming up on Saturday. But before that, we will address some of Tuesday's racing, where we've got action on the flat all the way on Tuesday. We have racing on the turf at Musselburgh, and then there's all-weather cards at Lingfield and at Wolverhampton as well. But we're going to focus in on the card at Musselburgh because it's a decent card. And we start with the 3:15, which is the Borderless Scott Sprint Trophy, a condition stakes for the sprinters over 5 furlongs. Usually produces a decent field, this one. And this year's renewal, John, is no exception.
No, there's some very decent sprinters in the contest. And one should say right at the very beginning that Borderless Scott was, of course, and still is one of the most favourite sprinters to have emerged from north of the border. And or closely owned north of the border anyhow, and he's often appeared at Musselburgh. This is an excellent little race. I have to say that Paul Midgley is causing a certain amount of interest. He's actually, I think, got four runners.
You're right, John, quadruple-handed.
In this contest. And it's nearly half the runners of in the race, in fact. So Paul Midgley's supporters, well, you've got to choose which one to go for. However, let's go from the top. El Astronaut has got to have a major chance. He was an absolute revelation for John Quinn's yard last season. I think if you look at his results, he's hardly ever been out of the first four, and he ran consistently well throughout the season, and he ended with a victory in a very decent competitive race in France at Maison Lafitte. And he runs here. Obviously, it's going to be very difficult to place, and this conditions race gives him a definite chance of starting off in a winning way. Second on the list, as far as the weights are concerned, is Captain Colby, who's the first of Paul Midgley's runners. Of course, in distance, when he's had a wind operation, he's a pretty consistent individual. He was second, actually, last time out we saw him on the turf to Foulard. Now, Foulard won a race at Ascot on Sunday, so you could say the form has been, boosted there. I think Captain Colby will run pretty well. Then we have the three more of Paul Midgley's horses. Tanasok has got to be in the mix. It's a question as to whether this horse is really at the top of his form now. He's gone up from 74 to 95, something like that, winning four sprints in a row in the middle of last season. And he starts off again here in this conditions race. Tarbouche, I believe I'm right in saying, is in fact the highest rated horse in this contest.
Yeah, you're right, John, off a mark of 108.
And, he ended up with a very good race at Doncaster. And he's obviously going to win a lot of good races for his owners during this season. Will they be quite ready to win first time out in this conditions race? I'm not sure. I'm going to go for El Astronaut, who I think is a worthy horse to run in this kind of contest.
Yeah, El Astronaut then for John Quinn and Jason Hart gets the vote in at 3:15. We stay at Musselburgh then for the second race. 2 hours later, another sprint on the card. This is a handicap over 5 furlongs. Same course and distance, John. We're not dealing with quite the same level of horse here, but there is going to be a winner.
Indeed there is, and the draw is always interesting at Musselburgh over 5 furlongs. Since, of course, the draw numbers have started with number one on the inside at every track, the draw favouritism has changed at Musselburgh over the last 2 or 3 years. Now, a high number gives you an advantage, and draw nine is a horse who's got to go on well in this race. Noel Wilson trains Our Place in Luleå, and Paul Hannigan is in the saddle. Now, Noel Wilson's not a multiple winning trainer, but he's got a fairly good record when he sends horses up to Musselburgh. And I think that this horse, Our Place in Luleå, is a major factor in this contest, has won twice at Musselburgh on his last two visits and could easily make it to three. The favourite horse in this race, though, is Economic Crisis.
Okay.
It's grand to see this mare still in action. It's won 12 times, I think, in her career. Four of those have been here at Musselburgh and just outnumbered by the victories at Hamilton, which is actually her favourite track. It's great to see Alan Berry still in action.
Yeah.
He doesn't have many runners, but Economic Crisis is a mare who loves Musselburgh, loves to bowl along. It's got young Connor Murta in the saddle today with the £5 coming off, and is always at her best in the first part of the season. Economic Crisis, 10 years old, would seem to be really quite a lot as far as age is concerned, but I don't think that makes all that much difference, and I think she's got a good chance. Lord of the Glen represents Jim Goldie. He's got a couple of horses, Jim has, and Lord of the Glen's been in action on the all-weather. Valdata, Carter represents Ruth Carr, and that horse has got form both on the flat and on the all-weather. It wouldn't surprise me to see Valarta run really well. I think Ruth Carr's just about to strike form. So it is an interesting little race. I think it's between the top one, Noel Wilson's Our Place in Luli, and the mare Economic Crisis. Is it loyalty, I say, Sam? I am going for Economic Crisis.
Good stuff. Economic Crisis then is the choice in that 5:15 race at Musselburgh. Goes with El Astronaut a couple of hours earlier. And what is a good card at Musselburgh? That's a meeting alongside Lingfield and Wolverhampton on Tuesday. I hope you can join us for all the action on Racing Radio. We go live at 1:50. John, thank you for that. Pleasure as always, and best of luck.
Thank you very much indeed, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.